Wake up weekday mornings, LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader. 103.9 LI News Radio.
Well, a lot of stuff happening in the world these days, and certainly a big test. No better person to talk to than the great Henry Sheinkopf, Sheinkopf Communications, political consultant extraordinaire. The likes back in the day of the Bill Clinton and Michael Bloomberg campaigns for various offices. Always great to speak to Henry. Hank, how are you, sir? Very happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
I am very happy, and I hope you are. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Pumped to have you on here on Getaway Day. You know, let's start out with this whole Roy Moore situation, Hank. You know, the president coming out yesterday, pretty much in defense, as we all know. And this, of course, you know, the Republican National Committee, they have severed ties with Roy Moore, pretty much accused of sexual abuse. He denies it. He denies it, according to the president. Trump pretty much stating, Hank, if you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen, kind of paraphrasing here. What's your take on the Moore situation? Should he step away? And, of course, the president's comments yesterday.
Look, I worked in Alabama on campaigns going back to the late 80s into the 20th century and the end and the 21st century. It's a great place. The people are terrific. Their politics are unusual for people in the Northeast. They have a reason for being in rebellion. Roy Moore represents that rebellion of unresolved issues north to south or south to north in this case. But he's crazy. He always has been. Him in the Senate is the craziest idea I've ever heard. Here's a guy who the federal court had to take out of office as a Supreme Court justice in Alabama, and I think the Chief Justice in both cases elected. They had to remove him from office because he refused to comply with court orders. So what kind of a guy do you – I mean, starting off, it's bad. The president putting himself in a both cynical political position after all this news, which is not fake news, about a guy who was obviously inappropriate in his sexual conduct in many cases. What are we doing here? This country has traded its morality for its politics. That's not the American way in any way, shape, or form.
No question about it. And you look at the president's comments, really marking a break between him and some of the other prominent Republicans, as we all know. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who have really called on Moore to drop out of the race. Campaign arm for the Senate Republicans. The Republican National Committee, they've also severed ties with Moore. And, you know, before the president actually making his comments, before he departed for holiday, you kind of got the sense that he would pretty much say just that. What else would you expect from President Donald Trump in this situation?
Probably what he did, not because it's the political judgment overweighed the moral judgment. No surprise in American public life that does happen, seems to be happening more and more frequently. But there's probably a behind-the-scenes move by Republicans nationally with money to somehow help Moore, regardless of what we've already read about, simply because they don't want to lose they want to be able to pass legislation. They don't want to lose another Senate. They don't want to lose the Senate seat. Despite their disregard of the Trump Bannon wing of the Republican Party for Mitch McConnell, they really don't want to hobble him more than is necessary. So it all smells very badly. But it is, I think, a testament to the Internet age that we can communicate so quickly that Alabama becomes right next door as opposed to around the corner, opposed to far away. And we see a different kind of politics that's not very nice looking for the world and quite cynical, you must admit.
No question. Jeff Geo with a follow-up. Jeffrey, take it.
Good morning, Hank. It's Jeff Geo. How are you?
Thank you. Doing great.
So when I look at the president's comments yesterday on the Alabama situation, what I saw was not a president endorsing someone who he feels ideologically aligned with, but rather I saw a White House that is so desperate for a tangible legislative accomplishment that has thus far eluded them that the president is willing to do almost anything to get it, and he knows if he puts his weight behind Roy Moore, then he might get that 51st vote he needs to pass a tax reform bill. Did you get that sense as well?
Well, look, there's no question that the Trump administration badly needs an accomplishment of some kind. They don't. Trump does not have a lot going into the legislative year with the midterm elections, which is 2018. So that ain't good news. The Republicans can lose a lot of seats. That is true. The data seems to continue. The publicly released polls and data seem to confirm that. Is he desperate? Yeah, he's desperate to get it done. But that's not the. I don't think that's the. That's only part of the equation in the more look away, for lack of better terminology, that the president did yesterday. He wants to put Mitch McConnell in his place. Mitch McConnell's the leader of the U.S. Senate, the Republican leader of the U.S. Senate. McConnell's already walked away from work. It's just the opposite of what everybody does, which tends to be the Trump move. Is it good for this country is the larger question, and is it good for democracy? Well, the voters in Alabama will decide that. You can't get him off the ballot. He's stuck there. People seem to think somehow it's easy to get somebody removed once they're seated in the U.S. Senate. Not so easy. And anybody who has any doubts about Mitch McConnell's integrity on these matters needs to go back and look at the Bob Packwood investigation. Senator from Oregon, who ultimately resigned rather than be ejected from the Senate on the sexual harassment complaint. So not so simple to get rid of somebody. It took them, I think, 5 years for Packwood to resign under the threat of investigation and removal. Once he's in office, it's going to be hard to get rid of Roy Moore if he gets elected. And they don't care. They want that bill. They want those bills to start to pass, and Moore's their ace in the hole, and he's Bannon's guy.
You know, Hank, it's interesting. From what Colorado Senator Cory Gardner said, he actually chairs the Senate Republican campaign arm, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And he went so far as to suggest that if Moore managed to win the race, he'd actually be expelled from the chamber after being seated. And again, if Moore was expelled, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, he'd be the first sitting senator, I do believe, to be removed by his colleagues since going back to the 1800s, 1860 or something of that nature. But a little bit of a caveat there, Hank Shenka.
It's not so simple to get rid of him, and the national outcry against him will be extreme. But again, potentially alienating a Republican stronghold like Alabama is going to be difficult for the Senate to do. It's not a good situation at all. But it speaks more clearly to what's happened to our politics. You know, the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where we extol heroes like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. Now President's Weekend has become more of a shopping event than a remembrance of values, integrity, and the fight for truth, justice, and the American way, as man used to say. We've traded all that off for a bunch of votes. Not so good. There's no question, you know, when you have multiple sources again and again, and interviewees on the record confirm certain events, and their stories sound very much alike, independent and apart. There's no question what happened here, but the question is, to me and to rational people, is, when is the moral tone going to be stricken? They're going to be struck around the country that says, hey, look, inappropriate, we don't want you, rather than we need you for political purposes. Not so good. Well, Democrats have done similar things, by the way, but this is really outrageous and outlandish.
All right, let's move on to some other subjects. Hank Shenikoff with us, one of the best in the business, Shenikoff Communications. Hank, haven't talked to you in a while. The president's trip to Asia, you know, all eyes on China, at least for me, and this Trans-Pacific Partnership, in which 11 of 12 countries still are for it. The president really not backtracking at all, keeping his stance against it. But in essence, how would you classify this trip? This trip so important in the trade aspect and, of course, all surrounding regarding Japan and North Korea. Give me the assessment of the trip, and especially with what occurred in China.
The Chinese, if history is use of examining this, they're probably laughing at the president, you know, behind his back on a constant basis. Not because there's anything wrong with him, because they got him. They got the Americans right where they want them. And, you know, someone has a significant American foreign policy thing, as Henry Kissinger, in an article in Atlantic Monthly a few months back, talked about the United States being close to war with China than at any other time since the Korean War of the 50s, the 1950s, that is. So this is not insignificant. They got them. They're holding the Americans off for a while. The American strategic position in the Far East is in question. The American economic position in the Far East is at risk. And the bloc lining up with China's power, then remember, they're right in the neighborhood. And fear of China grows daily. So wasn't a great success whatsoever. Not really.
No question. What about North Korea, Hank? You know, obviously the declaration now of a terrorist state. We haven't heard much from Kim Jong-un after that particular declaration. Certainly, we await for response. But what was your assessment as far as when the president was in that neck of the woods and, of course, that declaration just 48 hours ago?
Important that the president was certainly talking about North Korea with the Chinese and others. It is the great national defense issue that we have right now. That, of course, and Russian hacking. But this is more significant because it proposes an immediate potential threat of nuclear war, or nuclear attack. So calming him down is probably what's going on behind the scenes. I'm talking about Kim Jong-un and trying to at least have a static environment back to what it was before this, the great threat by Kim Jong-un this time, and the response by the president is what's going on. Was that, if that was done with the Chinese, which reasonable supposition that it was, then that trip, portion of the trip, was a success. But the trade issues, remember, tariffs and trade resulted in wars in the planet before, intervention by other countries in countries throughout the world. So this is not good when you have this kind of tension in the first place. And China is no one to fool with. They don't hold Westerners in high regard based upon everything I've read. They want to control everything that goes on in their neighborhood of the world, and they want to be the strategic power. Therefore, they're in direct competition with the Americans, and that's not good news. And trying to cut them by with threatening them and saying, well, if you give me a North Korea a piece of leaving us alone, we'll do something about trade. It's a ridiculous position to take publicly because it makes the Chinese embarrassed, it's disrespectful, and it makes them look like a bunch of money hoarders, which is exactly what you don't want to say to the Chinese at any time, especially a Chinese nation that has as many people as they have and nuclear weapons pointed at Japan, probably.
Jeffrey.
Now, speaking about the Trump administration's foreign policy as a whole, one thing I've been asking a lot of folks whose opinions I respect is to opine on the fact that you've seen a almost historic rebuke of the economic nationalism and foreign policy nationalism being put forth by the Trump administration. Notably, you've seen John McCain in his Liberty Award speech talk about the fact that the Trump era foreign policy belongs in the ash bin of history, calling it a half-baked notion. Do you believe that historians, when evaluating the foreign policy of this administration, will side with John McCain or will they side with Donald Trump?
It'll be somewhere not as extreme as either. The Trump foreign policy is wrongheaded because it is a response to domestic political concerns. It's not a global thinking. It's just much more politically based. And oftentimes when people make political statements, there's no way in the rhetoric to make that into a reality. So this attempt to play essentially white blue-collar Americans in the heartland who used to live in manufacturing and tell them that somehow those jobs are coming back in the same way is patently absurd, wrong. And then this president has taken it to the next step, which is to tell the rest of the world that that's the way it's going to be, and they're laughing at it because that era has passed us by. Now there's some truth to the words. There's some truth to an attempt to get better deals, whatever that might mean. But that's not the way you conduct diplomacy. And anybody who doesn't think so ought to look up the word Smoot-Hawley, which was a trade tariff bill that changed our relationship with the world and likely resulted in war. And that's very, very serious. So it's hard to understand how the president is viewing things globally, and it's hard to see how the people around him have the kind of experience in foreign policy to conduct a rational foreign policy that does not put us at odds with the Chinese in a more significant fashion. And that's the great worry we have. Our security agreement with Japan immediately puts us at loggerheads with the Chinese, who want to get even, as they should want to get due, as any nation would, for the Japanese abuses in the Second World War. And they have long memories, but it's not good news, and it is not sure-footed, not clear, and the world does not like a lack of clarity from the superpower.
A few minutes left with Hank Shenikov. Hank, where does this tax plan go right now? We know it's devastating for those of us here on Long Island, the state as well. Where do we go from here? We cannot fathom this particular bill going anywhere, hopefully, but especially, you know, when our local paper takes out an ad from the Realtors Association and really imploring of our congressmen Zeldin and King to do the right thing. They have emphatically said no. Where do you see this thing going? It seems like an answer needed by the end of the year in a positive way overall, but where do you overall assess this particular plan?
Well, the president and his supporters unfortunately have confused the idea of tax reform and tax cut. You know, it took Ronald Reagan 3 years and more to get a change in the tax laws in place. It's not so simple. You can't do it overnight, and it needs study. This bill will do terrible things to the North, to certainly to New York and New Jersey and high population eastern states by getting rid of the state and local tax deduction. And it will injure the home building industry and the home purchasing industry. So realtors and home builders have real concern here. If the business of America is building homes, and this is just bad news. Where does it go? Well, if you have the votes, it'll pass. Simple. The most important thing in legislative politics is counting. And the second most important thing is determining what outcomes might be and what impacts are. Do they have enough votes to pass it? They likely do in the House because they've done it already. The Senate bill has yet to be written. And a lot of that will depend on what happens in Alabama, frankly, whether they have the votes. And if they have the votes, that bill will get passed in some form after the first year, likely, but not now. And does Mitch McConnell want it? Well, he's got to get something done because he, too, has an electoral problem, which is they don't get anything done. Anybody with a brain who's a Democrat will run against the do-nothing Congress and the do-nothing Senate and the do-nothing president.
You know, Hank, it seems, and final thoughts here from you, kind of a trickle-down effect as far as what's happening in our country with the sexual allegations. Charlie Rose, we have seen, you know, the actors of Kevin Spacey and company and Harvey Weinstein kind of started the ball rolling. But the latest one is kind of hard to take with three service members reassigned from their White House jobs for allegedly having inappropriate contact with women in Vietnam during the president's visit. And all in all, three Army non-commissioned officers breaking curfew from their detail, apparently, in the Southeast Asian nation, according to sources telling the Washington Post. Of course, the three now under investigation for the White House Communications Agency. You know, it just seems, again, that we are in a big pickle here, and it's a trickle-down effect. It makes us look terrible. What's your assessment on this? Even the White House has been accused here.
What the servicemen did was to break curfew, which is probably what they're going to face charges on, and it's very serious. But that's not what Charlie Rose is accused of, and that's not what Roy Moore is accused of. That's not what Kevin Spacey nor Harvey Weinstein or any of these people or John Conyers is accused of. What they're accused of is, in some cases, just sex abuse, and the least extreme case is a significant form of harassment. With the this is a moment of national impact. We're going to have to – the pendulum is going to swing all the way in one direction, and then it will right itself over time. But to deny that there is sexual harassment in the workplace and that women are treated differently on a gender basis is just plain wrong. This is not about sex. It's about power. And it is consistent with the power realignment we're having in this country. And now it is the turn of women to take control in a more significant fashion. Now, this happened once before, but not with such intensity. And the heralding of women in political office in the year 1992, Carol Moseley Braun campaign and for the U.S. Senate winner in Illinois heralded the beginning of a new revolution for women. This is the beginning of the second revolution for women in the last quarter century. And what we're going to see is significant changes in the workplace and the workplace conduct.
Henry Shinecoff, ladies and gentlemen, Shinecoff Communications, of course, the full-service strategic communications company headed by Henry Shinecoff. Hank, a wonderful Thanksgiving, and hopefully we'll talk soon. How's that?
Take care of yourself. I always appreciate you. Have a great time. Enjoy.
Henry Shinecoff, ladies and gentlemen, always good to get the Shine take on things. Always a pleasure.